Good morning and welcome. It's great to hear that buzz around our meeting house, and it's great to see you all, folks. And I'm really delighted, I'm really encouraged, because I feared, as is often the case, I know a lot of folks get away for Easter, and I don't begrudge folks that, because I know holidays are precious and time with family is precious, but it's great to see so many of you today, and welcome. And if you're a visitor with us in Railway Street and it's Easter Sunday morning, we're really delighted to have you, and we welcome those who are watching at home. We still have a large number of folks who tune into that live stream every Sunday, and I know many people missed that a couple of weeks ago, but we greet those who are watching at home and those who still tune into the telephone line service as well. We're here to celebrate the good news of Easter. I'm going to risk this now. I risked this at 6:30 this morning, Wallace Park Bandstand, and nearly everybody was either from Sloane Street or Railway Street, and we're nervous about things like this, and I had to try it twice, and that's the way it works here. I'm going to say something. There's a response you're meant to get back to me on Easter Sunday, and we'll try it and see how we go. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, you did that so much better than they did it the first time at Wallace Park. But then, folks, most of you had longer in bed, and you're much more wide awake now. Paul writes this: "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as the one abnormally born." And then Peter writes these wonderful words. Some of you have heard these already today. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fail." Let's join together in prayer. Exalted and resurrected Jesus, we join the Apostle Peter's bold declaration of living hope and great joy. For you have risen from the dead, and this good news changes everything. Because of your resurrection, Jesus, we're now neither afraid to die nor afraid to live. We're not hapless vagabonds on earth. We're hope-filled citizens of heaven. We're no longer enslaved to our sins. We're now wrapped in your righteousness. Because of your resurrection, Jesus, we're less to be pitied than anybody and more grateful than everybody. You are the first fruits and guarantee of a whole new order, the new creation realm of redemption and restoration. One day, everything sad will come untrue, and all things broken will be made new. How we long for that day. Jesus, your death is the death of death, and your resurrection is the resurrection of all things. You died for our sins and have been raised for our justification. Oh, the wonder, marvel, and gratitude that fills our hearts today. We are forgiven, we are beloved, and we are yours. In light of this living hope and compelling love, this measureless grace and eternal inheritance, free us for spending the rest of our days living to your glory. So we pray in your praiseworthy and powerful name, and the Lord's people said together, Amen. Let's stand together. Let's praise God as we sing one of the older Easter hymns, Jesus Christ is risen today. We began our Easter services last Wednesday evening, and we met together on Thursday and Friday, and in those services, in the run-up to Easter, we began by considering Jesus' question to the Pharisees during that final week in Jerusalem, and I'm hoping there we go, that question will come up. What do you think about the Christ? What do you think about the Christ? And over the course of those three evenings, we looked at the answer that three characters around the cross gave to that question. On Wednesday, we looked at the rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, who went and asked for Jesus' body and then laid it in that newly cut out tomb. On Thursday, we considered the military man, that Roman centurion who was on duty at the cross, who witnessed the death of Jesus and the declaration of faith that he uttered. And on Good Friday, we considered the cross-bearing man, Simon of Cyrene, forced to carry that cross for Jesus for the first part of that final journey, or for the part of that final journey to Calvary. Now, I said on Friday evening that some people are maybe saying, why are we just talking about the men? Were there not women around as well? Yes, there were. And in each of our readings, we saw the fact that there were others around the cross that we have not considered. And among them were the women who followed Jesus. And that's who we turn to this morning. These women are first mentioned in Luke chapter 8. The beginning of Luke chapter 8, this is what we read. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. And some of these women were mentioned in each of the readings we had at those services on Wednesday through to Good Friday. Mark's account of the crucifixion tells us some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. And in Matthew's account, we heard more or less the same thing. Many women were there watching from a distance. They'd followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's son. And in Luke's gospel, when Joseph of Arimathea took the body of Jesus from the cross, we heard this: the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. This morning, it's time to bring those faithful women out from the margins of the Easter story and to give them their place and the important place that they occupy in the events of that first Easter. You see, the difference between them and the 12 men Jesus had chosen to follow him was that these women continued to follow him after his disciples had all made a run for it and abandoned Jesus. These women continued to follow Jesus. They followed him to the cross. They witnessed his death. And then they followed him to his tomb. And then they made the preparations to return to that tomb early in that first Easter Sunday, to anoint his body with the spices and perfumes they had prepared. The truth is, it's the women who come out of the Easter story much better than the men. These women were still seeking to follow and serve Jesus, even in death. And for this reason, they were the first to receive the good news on that first Easter Sunday. And our reading this morning from Luke chapter 24, the beginning of Luke chapter 24, tells us what happened next. And Heidi's going to read that for us.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, The woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the woman because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
Thank you, Heidi. We thank God for this reading from his word. A reading's a bit of a puzzle, isn't it, boys and girls? What was happening? Lots of bewildered people expecting one thing, finding another. And what did they find? That's what we want to consider together. But to do that, I need you to find some things for me, okay? So I want you to look around. If you look around this building, both upstairs and downstairs, you should see Easter eggs. Easter eggs all over the place. And I need you to collect those eggs, bring them up to the front. Now, we need to make sure we get as many of them as possible. So get the eggs. Don't be running if you're on the stairs. Please don't run. Take your time. But go and look for those eggs now and then bring them up to the front for me, okay? So wherever you can find an Easter egg, go and get it. Oh, straight into the pulpit, Juvia, right? And Alice is away too, right? There's... Okay, super. Freddy. Look here. No, give it to, yep, that's it. Put them up on the table for me. Great, now go and look for more. Great, doing well. Okay, now folks, if you find one in your pew in your window, don't be trying to sneak that out. Hold it up high. Right, keep putting them up here. Let's see, oh my goodness, we're doing well. We're doing super. Okay, one of the most important ones is the... Oh, no, there it is. Great. Okay. Right. Okay, anybody still got one anywhere? Hold it up. Brilliant. Come on, Isabel. Right, set it on the table. Any more up in the gallery? Right, boys and girls, come up to the front then. Have a seat. Good. Now, somebody's having a laugh out there now, I'm telling you. They're not. Oh, here we go. Ah, right. Yeah, come on. Good to see you, boys. Come on, bring them up here. Set them up here, and then go and have a seat with the other boys and girls. Great. Super. Oh, wow. Were those all upstairs, were they?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you. That is so helpful. Now, come on and have a wee seat here. If there's not room, just have a wee seat on the floor there because the carpet's nice and soft. So just have a wee seat there. That's super. Brilliant. Great. Boys and girls, that reading we just had from Heidi was reminding us what happens that first Easter morning. And I'm sure, I really hope you already know what happened. Some of the women who had been followers of Jesus, they'd seen the tomb where Jesus' body was placed. They went to prepare spices and perfumes because they wanted to put those on Jesus' body. And they rested quietly the next day because it was a day of rest. But early in the morning, on the first day of the week, we got a picture. Early that morning, while it was still dark, these women made their way to the tomb. Now, we need some of those Easter eggs you find to help us tell the rest of the story. We need some of these bigger ones here, so we do. Right, we need this one, first of all, and we're going to have a cracking time because I need these eggs smashed. Would anybody like to smash this? Nobody at all. Nobody wants to come up and, well, we'll have to get one of your mums and dads. Nobody wants to come up and smash the egg for me. Right, Phoebe, come on. Now, Phoebe, we've got this egg here. Now, you have a choice. You can try and break it with this lovely, delicate wee hammer here. Or would you like to use this big rolling pin? What do you want to break it with? Oh, now you surprise me. I reckon, James, if you were up here, what would you have gone for? Your fists? Oh, right. Do you want to hit it nice and hard for me, Phoebe? Keep going, keep going. Oh, right, let's tell you what we'll do. We'll take this off and then we'll let you keep. Right, keep thumping away there, Phoebe. I'll hold it still. Go, just don't hit my fingers. Oh. Right, have a look inside. What do you see inside? Just crumbs. Is there anything else? Just chocolate. Nothing else at all. Hit down here. Yeah, there's nothing in there. Sure, there's not. No, thank you very much, Phoebe. No, there's nothing. You can go and sit down, yeah. There's nothing inside that egg at all, other than the crumbs of chocolate.
My name's Noah.
Noah, pleased to meet you, Noah. And what's your name? Lovely to see you. Oh, I know who you are, Jude and Noah. Good to see you. Good to see you. Right, do you see? Nothing but chocolate inside that egg. Empty. Egg is empty. What else was empty on that first Easter Sunday? What was empty that first Easter Sunday? Something that was empty. Ben? Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, the tomb was empty that first Easter morning. Jesus' friends, they were going to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body with spices. They were wondering how on earth they'd be able to get the big stone rolled away from the entrance. But when they got there, that wasn't a problem because what had happened to the stone?
It was moved.
Yeah, James, it had already been rolled away. The stone had been rolled away. So the problem wasn't the stone. The problem was what they saw when they went inside the tomb. What did they not find inside the tomb? What did they not find, Danielle? They didn't find Jesus' body. The body was gone. The tomb was empty. And that empty tomb was the first clue that Jesus was alive again. Now, later, of course, they would see Jesus for themselves. But for now, their proof was the fact that the tomb was empty. Many people over the centuries have found that the empty tomb was for them the first evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. But then later, Jesus has come into their lives and caused them to put their trust in him as their Savior and Lord. And it could well be that with so many people here today, there are some of you here today, and you still don't know whether or not you can believe the Easter story. I remember a man who attended the first church I worked in, First Antrim, where I was assistant minister to John Dixon, and John's well known here in Railway Street. And this man was at church every Sunday. He was sitting up in the gallery with his wife. But as far as John Dixon and I knew, he wasn't a Christian. And John went to visit him one evening, and he got talking to the man about his faith. And he realized this man wasn't a Christian. And so John said, Why are you not a Christian? And he answered very honestly, and this is what he said: because I'm not sure I can trust Jesus. And maybe that describes somebody here this morning. You come to church every Sunday. Maybe you've been coming for many, many years. Or maybe you're just a visitor today. You're not saved because you still aren't sure that Easter is believable. Seems too good to be true. It goes against the laws of nature as we understand it. The idea that a man would rise from the dead. And if you're not sure, then you need to examine the evidence for yourself. Everyone agrees, both Jesus' friends and foes agree, the tomb was empty that first Easter Sunday. And if that was the case, the first question we've got to ask is this: what had happened to Jesus' body? Because the tomb was empty. Boys and girls, I'm going to let you go back to your seats. I'm going to be looking for your help again later on, but I'm going to invite you to go back to your seats for a little while. Thank you. Folks, I want to say thank you to all who have been involved in our Easter services. I want to thank Stephen Johnson for speaking on Thursday night. I want to thank all who have been involved in providing music and singing. I want to thank you for our audiovisual team, for those who have been on the door welcoming folks. And this morning for our breakfast after the dawn service, I want to say a big thank you to Linda, to the missus. Linda has never got to a dawn service, folks, since we came to Railway Street. Not because she can't get out of bed, but because she's always down in the kitchen, making sure that the sausages are heated, that we're ready to go for when people come back. And I also want to thank Heather Ann and the whole McGuckin family for their help with breakfast after the dawn service. And Louise, thank you for doing all the hoovering in the link after breakfast today. Thank you so much for that. I want to say thank you to Hannah and all the team who were involved in our holiday Bible club this week. And we're going to hear more about that in just a couple of moments' time. But there's a few other announcements, folks. This is incoming week. The link up will be on this Wednesday. So the link will be open 10 to 12. Everyone's welcome to come and enjoy some company and chat there. Then on Thursday afternoon at 2:30 p.m., our 422 how many twos did I say there? 422 will be meeting at 2:30 p.m. That's open to anybody who's free, who isn't working, those who have retired. And our own Ivan Woods is going to be speaking at that about the Ulster Aviation Society. So that's on Thursday afternoon at 2:30. Could I ask folks, anybody who has items for inclusion in the next bulletin, the May and June bulletin, could I ask you to email those to me by Monday, the 28th, Monday, the 28th of April. Been asked to thank all those who have supported the Romanian work team. They had two fundraisers. We had a bread and soup lunch here a few Sundays ago, and then there was a desserts night, coffee and desserts night up at the Nelson's house. Folks, a total of £4,106 has been raised for the work of the team. That's really tremendous. Thank you for your generosity in that regard. Folks, please note that I'm going to be on holiday throughout this incoming week. If you need the services of a minister, then contact Stephen Johnson. Andrew Faulkner, the minister of Sloane Street, will be on call, but contact Stephen in the first instance, and Heidi will be about her normal days this week. And then next Sunday morning, you've got two good preachers to listen to. Next Sunday morning, Peter Huey will be back with us. Peter's a second-year student for the ministry, and then Stephen Johnson will take our service in the evening. But like I've said, if we go on to the next slide, guys, we had our Dive to the Depths holiday Bible Club this week. I'm going to invite Hannah to come and to say a wee bit more about that.
Good morning. Happy Resurrection Sunday, everybody. We really praise God for a brilliant week at our Easter Holiday Bible Club, for lots of answered prayers. Throughout the week, we saw around 30 children. Most of them we have some connection with already, but others we didn't before this week. It was really great to dive into the book of Jonah, although it was definitely challenging at times too. We saw how God's amazing mercy is towards all sinners who come to him in repentance, and that Jonah's story points us forward to the greater prophet Jesus, who after 3 days, like Jonah in the belly of a fish, rose again. Throughout our mornings together, here's a little flavor of the pictures on the screen. Throughout our mornings together, we played games, we learned a memory verse, we enjoyed singing together, doing craft. There was a great drama from Sandy and Pearl and Mr. Crab. There they are. And we spent time together in smaller groups digging into Jonah. I just want to say personally a massive thank you to everybody who was involved throughout the week, behind the scenes for those baking for us and doing decorations, and also for the team who were there every day, leading activities and small groups and drama and music, serving refreshments and maybe doing things outside their comfort zone as well. Thank you so much for all that you did in service to the Lord this week. And thank you so much, church family, for all that your prayers. We saw lots of those answered this week, and I trust that we'll see more answers to those in the future. So now we look forward to next year.
Thanks, Dallin. And Anna, thank you to Bertha. He's on the organ today as well. Boys and girls, come on back up to the front, please, because we need your help. Right, we've got another Easter egg to help us tell the Easter story. Oh, here's the second shift coming now. Great, 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 great. Right. Okay. Just have a seat, boys. Have a seat in the carpet there, okay? Just sit down in the carpet. That's brilliant. Right. I need somebody to break our second Easter egg for us. Right, Ben, come on, because we had fame. Now, would you like to use this delicate wee hammer? Would you like to use this big rolling pin? Yeah, okay. Right, go for it. Hit it hard. Well, not too hard, not. Whoa! First go, what'd you find inside? Right, take it. Can you open it? What's inside? What is it, Ben? It's a chick. Hold it up so everybody can see it. It's a little chick. Well, what else would you expect to find inside an egg? It's a little chick. Thank you so much. Ben, you can go have a seat. Yeah, do you see it? It is soft, yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy, right. Okay, we're getting more than a bargain for. Right. Everybody please verify it's very soft. Super, right. Great. A chick. And say, sit down, boys, that's lovely. Got a chick inside the egg, because this is a day where we celebrate new life. We celebrate new life. Now, at this time of year, new life is everywhere all around us. What are some of the signs of new life that we see in our gardens or we see when we're out in the park? What are some of the signs of new life at this time of year? Come on, Danny. Yeah, what sort of plants are growing? Well, everything's growing, isn't it? Is the grass in your garden growing? Has the grass started to need to get cut?
No, I'm cutting it.
Because why, Isabel?
I'm cutting it.
You're cutting it, yes. Yeah, okay, yeah, but you're cutting it because it's growing. Yep. So grass is growing. What's happening to the trees? What do we see appearing on the trees?
Flowers.
Yeah, and what's coming back after having fallen off during the winter? Leaves are growing back. There's flowers in our garden. If you go out into the countryside, what do you see a lot of in the fields at this time of year? What do you see? Baby animals, lambs and calves in our fields, because new life is everywhere. But the new life of Easter is even more exciting. When Jesus' friends went to the tomb with their spices, they were only expecting to find death. They weren't expecting to find life. But as we've already seen, when they got to the tomb was empty, wasn't it? Jesus' body wasn't there, and the women had no idea what had happened to it. And while they were wondering about this, who appeared? Who appeared to give them a message? Who was it? Juvia?
An angel.
Yes, absolutely right. While they were wondering about this, the Bible tells us two angels appeared. Men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them, and in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, and the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among
the dead. He is not here. He is, what's that word? Risen. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And we're told the women then remembered his words. You see, they had forgotten that Jesus had told them in advance about everything that would happen. He had told them that he would be handed over to his enemies. He had told them that he would be put to death, but he had also told them
that he went on a boat and then he went back to his house.
Well, he did, yes. In one story, he did do that. That's right. When he was on the Sea of Galilee, he was on boats quite a lot, and he had told them that he would rise again. Why was the tomb empty? Why was the body gone? Because Jesus had risen from the dead with new life. And we celebrate today the new life that Jesus has, because that means, you know what that means? You and I, we can know new life as well. And if we don't believe that Jesus rose physically from the dead, then we've got to account for what happened to Jesus' body. The tomb was empty. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, the tomb was empty. That means somebody took the body. There's only two realistic options. Either the disciples took it, or the Jewish leaders took it and hid it to keep the disciples from getting it. So what about the disciples? Do you know what the disciples were doing on the Easter Sunday morning? They were hiding. They were hiding because they were frightened for their own lives. They didn't have the courage to stay at Jesus' side when he was alive. The last thing they were thinking about doing was going to his tomb, overcoming the Roman soldiers who were guarding it, rolling that huge stone away, and running off with Jesus' body. And even if they had stolen that body, would these men be prepared to die for a lie? Because all of them gave their lives, some of them in great pain and agony, for the belief that Jesus was alive. The only other option is that the Jewish leaders had taken the body to stop the disciples taking it and claiming he was alive. But if the Jewish leaders had the body, then they could have produced it as soon as the disciples started talking and sharing the news of Jesus' resurrection. Did the Jewish leaders produce the body? No. 2,000 years later, we're still waiting. The evidence points to the amazing reality that Jesus had risen from the dead, that he had experienced new life. Now, we have one more egg. Or maybe I just want to break this one myself. Eh? No. Right, we've got one more. Sit down, sit down, sit down. Right. One more egg. Who's going to do this? Oh, this is so hard. This is so hard. Emily, come on. Now, would you like this lovely, delicate wee hammer, or would you like the big... Right, go. Right, will you take it out? What's inside it? It's money. How much is it?
£20.
Give them that back right away. £20 note. £20 note inside that Easter egg. Now, according to the box, there's meant to be a couple of crunchy bars. There's no sign of them. But what do you think? Is a £20 note better than a couple of wee crunchy bars? Which would you rather have? Would you rather have two of these or one of these? Who would rather have two of these? Who would rather have this? Yeah. Well, you couldn't just buy those two. I mean, you could buy probably 20 crunchy bars at today's prices with that. That's a real surprise. Has anybody ever got an Easter egg with £20 inside it? No, neither have I. Neither have I. Now, I just want to warn you, there is not a £20 in any of those other Easter eggs. I don't want anybody running up here to try and open them at this moment to find out, because let me assure you, as far as I know, there's no £20. Can you go back and have a wee seat? Yes, I'm sure about that. As sure as I can be. But mind you, I wasn't expecting to find that inside there. Have a seat. Shh. Have a seat. £20 note inside an Easter egg. You know, that's a surprise, isn't it? And God loves to surprise people. And God loves to give us even more than we could ever imagine. Sunday morning, we're reading about Jesus' friends expecting to find a dead body. None of them were expecting to find an empty tomb and to hear about new life. And so what God gave them was the greatest, most wonderful surprise ever. And that's what God can give us too. Something that's far better than we can ever imagine. New life because Jesus died and rose again. Boys and girls, if you would like, I want you to go up and take an Easter egg and you can take that home with you. So go and help yourselves. Okay, lovely. Brilliant. Thank you so much for your help. Great. You can take that one. Take that. Freddie, did you get one that says Freddo on it? Brilliant. Right. On you go. Super. Right. Back to your seats. I was going to keep you up a wee while longer, but no. Back. Wonderful surprise. Greater surprise than we could ever imagine. Jesus was alive again. And it proves the truth of what Jesus said, because Jesus was the one who before his death said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Jesus rose from the dead. Those words are true. And that offers us the opportunity to share in that new life. That eternal life. Peter, the disciple of Jesus, who saw him after his resurrection, we've heard these words already, we'll hear them again, said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." Do you know, the events of that first Easter took everyone by surprise. Everyone, bar one person. And that was the Lord Jesus himself. He had predicted, he had said that he would rise on the third day. And such an extraordinary claim has to be tested. You've got to examine the evidence for that. It sounds too good to be true, but not if there is an all-powerful God who loves us. Can we trust Jesus? Can you trust Jesus? I believe you can. Throughout this building here today are people of all ages who will testify that the living Jesus has become real to them, that they put their faith in him as their Lord and Savior, that they follow him every day, and that has brought new life to them. For anybody else, if you want to know more about this, there are copies of this little book. There's just a handful of them. Here today, this book by Rebecca McLaughlin is Easter Unbelievable. There's a couple of them at the door here. There's a couple of them on the table. Take them. If you want one, take one and read it as it sets out that wonderful evidence that Easter is indeed believable. Easter is a cracking time. We've had a cracking time up here this morning. It's all about a wonderful surprise. It's about an empty tomb. It's about a message of new life. And so we come right back to where we started on Wednesday night. We come back to that question that every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, need to answer for ourselves, because on this everything depends. What do you think of the Christ? What do you believe about Jesus? Let's pray. We thank you, Father God, that you raised your Son Jesus from death, and that his new life means that we too can live with you forevermore. We thank you for this amazing gift. We pray for those who haven't yet discovered that he is alive today. We pray that they will know the evidence of the empty tomb, and that they will have an encounter with the risen Jesus, who will come to them and say, "Follow me." And may they too follow him and discover that life in all its fullness, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, joy to have all of you with us.
today. Great to have so many boys and girls with us this morning. It's more than they've seen on other Easter Sundays. A joy to have them with us. Let's conclude our service as we join together to sing the words of that wonderful hymn as we proclaim that truth together. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Risen Lord Jesus, roll away the stone of our doubts. Let us trust you. Roll away the stone of our reserve. Let us proclaim you. Roll away the stone of our heaviness of heart. Let us rejoice in you. Roll away the stone of our fear. Let us find hope in you now and through all eternity. And the Lord's people said together, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.